Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
In April 2009, 17-year-old Brittany Drexel went on a spring break trip to Myrtle Beach without her mother's knowledge.
After just a few days of her vacation, she vanished from Ocean Boulevard on April 25th.
The night of her disappearance, she told her boyfriend she was going to visit someone at the Blue Water Resort, but stopped communicating at around 9 p.m.
To this day, her disappearance is still unexplained, and although there have been some promising leads, there is still no concrete explanation of what happened to Brittany.
Is Brittany still out there somewhere? Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. We're back to do our regular breakdown of a crime. And this one is, I think we've been getting requests for years. Mm-hmm. And finally, I was like, all right, let's see what's up.
It is a story that I feel captivates a lot of people. And it's just kind of one of those like, terrifying moments. I feel like so many cases, you're just always like, oh, that could be me. And this one, I feel like, especially as well, too. It just, ugh.
I know. Well, because I feel like this is one of those things that just makes you think about all the times you've walked home alone. And that's not to say that nobody should ever do that, because, I mean, I do that every single day. But sometimes you just think about all it takes sometimes is being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, literally, where you're like, when you're like, oh, I was just doing my life and then a catastrophe happened.
Yeah, seriously. And oh my God, I feel like all the words for this is because like the mom knew.
The mom
had a premonition. Moms are always right.
They're right until they're wrong. And then even when they're wrong, they'll say they're right. And then you just say that they are right as well, because that's what... they're your mom, and then it just kind of works with that.
Because you don't want to fight.
Oh, exactly. So, like, I'd rather just end this.
Yeah. You don't want to fight. Yeah. So today we're going to talk about the disappearance of Brittany Drexel. Like I said, we got a lot of DMs about this, Not Another True Crime. I know I got a few, so I was like, all right, adding it to the list. And keep sending us your suggestions. We really do have a running list that we add it to. Sometimes I screenshot it and then keep it on my phone and then forget about it until I'm like, shit, what are we going to do this week?
Yeah.
Totally. So a little bit about Brittany. She was born in Rochester, New York on October 7th, 1991. And shortly after she was born, her mother, Dawn, married a man named Chad, who adopted her. I think this was when Brittany was about 3. I think Chad was kind of in her life. And she really enjoyed soccer. She was really good at it. She had career aspirations. She wanted to go to cosmetology school, and she was very into hair and makeup.
And I know another thing, she also had some hopes, like, or like an interest of like modeling. And I know that comes up later with one of her mom's theories about why she went
out. Yeah, definitely. And one interesting thing, I mean, an interesting fact is that Brittany was born with a condition called persistent hyperplastic primary vitreous in her right eye, which means that she had to have a lot of surgeries on it, and ultimately she was blind in her right eye. And because of this, and because her eyes had a tendency to water, she wore these like distinctive blue contact lenses that kind of gave her like a very recognizable appearance. Then, I mean, I think she was like a pretty happy-go-lucky kid. You know, everybody in her high school liked her. Then she had a bit of trouble because her mom and Chad split in 2008. And of course, Brittany didn't really take the news well. This was really her father figure who'd been in her life, her whole life, pretty much.
She could remember, pretty much. Yeah.
Exactly. It started to affect her grades, and she also suffered from some depression. And Chad claims that it kind of aggregated the depression. Again, I mean, who wouldn't? So in April 2009, Brittany asked her mom if she could go down to spring break in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, with some friends.
Oh, and I know it was a weird situation where it was like her boyfriend and then a lot of like people he knew and stuff like that. So it wasn't like her immediate, like super, super close friend group, but like friends that were going, people that were going down to Myrtle Beach as a group.
Right. So she was with these two girls, Alana and Jen, and they really were not close friends. And even on the trip, they kind of showed that they, you know, didn't have a very strong bond. And we'll get into that a little bit. But that was part of the reason why her mom said no, because Brittany didn't know these other girls. She didn't know their parents. There were no parents on the trip. I mean, it's one thing if you're in college, I guess, to kind of go to like a completely different state for spring break. But when you're just in high school, and I don't, she was what, like 17? I don't even think she was, she may not even have been a senior in high school.
Yeah, I think she was like 16 or 17. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're that age, it's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, definitely no. And also too, for this, just because like for anybody listening, is like with the geographical nature of it, it's like a 13 or 14 hour drive down there, because from where they were to where Myrtle Beach is. So it's not like going down the shore for like a day or something like that. This is like a full on trip where you are going to be out of your comfort zone, out of anything.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. They did a road trip. They didn't even like fly to South Carolina. It was like 18 hours or something. In any case, it's a lot of time to spend in a car with people that you don't know. And then on the flip side, it's kind of like if something goes wrong, not even goes wrong, but like if the trip is like off, if the vibes are off,
you can't go home.
Exactly. It's a tough escape route. So they had this kind of fight, and Brittany's mom, Dawn, said that she had this premonition that something bad would happen on this trip, which is just really, really like heartbreaking. And they fought for several days about this until April 22nd, when Brittany asked if she could just go to a friend's house for like spring break to calm down, spend the night or whatever. And Dawn said yes, but Brittany did not go to a friend's house. She, in fact, went to Myrtle Beach.
Pre-find my phone.
I know. Oh my gosh. Pre-find my phone. Also, I can't even lie to my mom about like my budget.
Oh, no, yeah.
Like, you got to be expert level, but...
And also, like, too, like, to have all, like, your bags packed and everything like that. Oh, I guess you would just still pack a bag to go to your friend's house.
That's a good point, yeah. My mom would be like, that's a heavy bag for your friends.
It's just, like, all the bottles clinking. You're like, what?
Right. Then again, when anytime I go to stay at my boyfriend's, and he lives in literally just Manhattan, I pack, like, a full carry-on suitcase.
You have, like, that. You have, like, the little... neck pillow too. You're like, yeah, oh,
so
God.
I got from the subway. They're like, where is this girl going? I get off in Midtown and they're like,
You're like, this tourist is lost.
Right? Oh my gosh. Also, I feel like I have to just give a disclaimer that if I sound really like groggy, I have not really had my coffee yet today. So that's what's going on.
Oh, Sarah.
I was going to say my voice feels like gravelly. I don't know if anybody else can hear it, or if it's just me hearing it in my head.
I feel it's more so in your head. I have had two cups today, so I will try emulate. I will try to hype you up through
this. I mean, it's also like, this is really... I was researching this case like right before I went to sleep, which is never a good move. So I'm like having dreams of like trap houses, and I'm like, what's going on?
Wait, I like literally woke up in the middle of the night at 4 a.m., like shot out of bed, and I was like, probably because I was doing this at night. But
yeah. And you were like, I solved it.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, wait, what? I DM Mariska Hargitay. I have the clues. She's like, what are you?
And she's like, I don't solve real crimes.
Yeah, she's like, yo, I get paid millions to sit with my hot husband from younger, so calm down.
Truly, truly. Okay, but so Brittany kind of snuck out of the house to like an extreme degree, went to Myrtle Beach with these girls, Alana, Jen. There were a bunch of other guys there. 3 days after she left, she called her mother from Myrtle Beach while the group was staying at Bar Harbor Hotel. And she told her mom that she was just at the beach, which Dawn thought was the Lake Ontario shoreline, which they would refer to the beach. So she thought that she was like staying at the friend's
house.
Which
is so like, it's such a thing. Sneaky. I feel like, where I'd be like, no, I'm at a home. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I'm not at my home, but I'm somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I would. Like, forget my own lies immediately. This is just why I don't lie.
I was so boring in high school. I did not know. Yeah.
Oh, truly same. Like, I have this joke that I'm testing out for Friday. But basically, like, my mom was the president of the PTA. Like, she got elected multiple times. And I feel like she was so well liked. And my mom would, like, find out about high school parties before I knew about them.
Wait, that's so good.
She'd be like, are you going to Lexi's party? And I'm like, I didn't know that she was having a party.
Or she's like, don't go to Lexi's party and exactly. drink. You're like, I wasn't in.
I was like, right, no, I would never. I secretly had no clue it was happening.
No recall. You're like, where does Lexi live again? Just
yeah. Okay. Right. But kind of going along with that, the beach kind of thing being like a convenient sort of lie by omission, it ended up being 83 degrees there that day. So Dawn didn't see anything weird about it. She was like, yeah, okay, they're there. Although, unfortunately, Brittany wasn't having the best time on the trip, especially because her boyfriend couldn't come. I think he had to work or something.
And yeah, he had job obligations.
Yeah, and the girls were just like not being like super nice to her. I kind of heard that they were just being a little exclusive. They wanted to like really party and do a little drugs. Brittany wasn't really into that, so she kind of felt left out. And there was also this thing like, basically, when she went missing, one of the girls had borrowed her shorts and she left with them. And then, like, immediately after she left, they texted her, like, I want the shorts back. So she had to walk back. And that was kind of when she disappeared.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'll go in a little bit into the disappearance. So at around 8 p.m. on April 25th, Brittany left her friends to walk on the beach to another hotel, the Blue Water Resort, to visit a friend who was staying there. It's this guy, Peter, who was like a club promoter. And I think it was not a super far walk. It was maybe like a mile and a half is what I had read. It's a significant walk, but it's not like she's walking 5 miles by herself. So security cameras and show Brittany arriving to the hotel and then leaving at around 8:45 because this girl was like, I want my shorts back. So she had to turn around, go back to the other hotel, and that's when she left. And during this time, she was texting her boyfriend, John, who, like we said, was staying upstate because of work. At 9:15, her text suddenly stopped and they were kind of like in the middle of a conversation. Like, it wasn't just like, all right, I'm walking, TCYL.
She was like venting to him, too.
And yeah,
like,
she was venting to him, telling him that she wasn't having a good time. And he started to kind of get a little worried when she stopped responding. He tried to call her friends to see if they knew what was going on, and nobody knew. And he was, you know, texting her a lot and getting worried and saying to her, like, just text me back so I know you're okay. If you don't text me back, I'm going to call your mom. Thinking like, you know, if everything's fine, she would like respond to that. And she didn't. So then he called her mom, who legit had to find out this way that her daughter was in Myrtle Beach. And Dawn was like at first fucking pissed, obviously. But then she immediately got concerned and worried. So she called Chad and also the cops to see if the cops in Rochester. So to see if they could call the cops in South Carolina. And I also want to just talk about a brief side note. Okay, so I read some articles that said that she was not really from Rochester. She was from this town, upstate New York, that's spelled C-H-I-L-I, which I guess it's a suburb of Rochester. So when you see C-H-I-L-I, you think Chile. Exactly. So I texted my friend who's from upstate New York, and I'm like, have you heard of this place, and is it pronounced Chile? And they're like, no, it's actually pronounced Chile.
Oh.
And I wanted to just, like, I don't know, like, laugh into a coma, but also, like, throw my phone out the window, like, Chile.
Wait, can I say that? That's like chicer than anything I've ever heard, though.
Is it?
Chile.
I mean, being from Chile, like not even with an E at the end, I guess that's like Chile, but Chile. Like being from Chile, like the restaurant is a little right, bit stupid.
You're like, but I want my chilies, baby back ribs.
It's so true. But chile also sounds like you fucked it up.
That it does have that. I also love too. I went on the like just to Google chilie, and the only thing that pops up is a Wegmans, and I guess that's
well, all that sounds about right.
Can't really. Shout out to anybody from there. Oh, and Knuckles Knockout and Aldi. Okay, I don't need to.
What is a Knuckles Knockout?
I'm not going to Google to find out.
I kind of want to know.
It's a workout. I think it's a boxing place.
Oh, okay. I was imagining like extreme Chuck E. Cheese.
Wait, that'd be so, it's a knockoff Chuck E. Cheese.
Like a Chuck E. Cheese fight club, I don't know.
So they're like, I had my fifth birthday party at Knuckles Knockout in Chi Lai. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is good. Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. Because like, I feel like also whenever non-local outlets cover, like have local details, they'll just be like, okay, no one knows where Chi Lai is, but people
for sure
register Rochester. So they just throw her to there. So justice for Chi Lai too. So
yeah.
It also, it was so large. It was like larger than Rochester, I almost
thought. I mean, probably like size-wise. Size, I could see yes. that.
Grass-wise, because yeah. it was very green.
Grass.
It was green besides that Wegmans and that Knuckle Knockout.
Right.
In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
So, of course, so Dawn and Chi Lai, she was kind of sounding the alarms, which who would not, and tried to get a lot of cops going, a lot of things happening. The police didn't start looking for her until the following morning, which, I mean, the classic, you have to be missing for, like, 24 hours, stuff like that. But this was, I guess, a little more expedited. And what they were able to find was security footage from the second hotel that she was going to. And like Sarah was saying, the person that she went to see was Peter Brozowitz, who was a 20-year-old nightclub promoter. I was kind of shocked at, like, how young a nightclub. I was like, you can't go to nightclubs.
That's a good point. I will say, though, like, well, we would go to this club that in the city that didn't really care if you had a fake ID. And so our promoter was probably also underage.
That is true. I mean, Fordham, I did not even need a fake ID. they just were like, come on. I did have one. It wasn't good. But she knew him from the Rochester area. And he was there vacationing. And the two met up kind of at a local nightclub the night before. Like, they ran into each other. Like, oh, we know each other. And I'm sure she was looking for someone who was like a friend or something. I don't even know.
Totally.
Because she's like, the people I'm with fucking suck and I'm miserable. The cops did interview him and the people he was sharing his room with, just kind of asking questions and stuff like that, even though we do see her coming and going from that hotel. And what they said at that moment was, no one has been ruled in or out with the ultimate findings.
But I will say that, okay, so I read that once Brittany went missing, I read that he checked out of his hotel room at like 2 a.m. and left behind like some things and like immediately went back to Rochester and got a lawyer. But I think I read that.
Well,
so I don't know. I did read that he like pretty immediately bounced.
Well, that's all. It also is heir to a weirdness because Dawn and him made like multiple appearances on Dr. Phil too. Did you read about that? Where it's like they were on their fight, yeah. Which I didn't totally. I mean, we can get into the whole
fighting,
like having like,
I mean,
yeah,
that's crazy. I will say that I think so many people are like, oh, well, he got a lawyer. Why would you do that if you have nothing to hide? And I'm like, because the cops want a confession and they don't necessarily care if it's from the actual like person who did this. So whatever. And like, also, how long would you expect this kid to like stay in South Carolina, probably on his own dime, you know, like. I don't know, whatever. So I'm not a Peter truther, but I'm also like, I don't think the fact that he went home and got a lawyer is suspicious.
Well, also because like the boy is 20. I mean, that's like,
right.
Makes it, but I'm sure he was like, fam, this is happening. And like, if my 20-year-old son came to me this, I was like, okay, we're getting you a lawyer.
Oh, I'd be like, you're coming home immediately.
Yeah. And we're hiring some JD and we're going to get you, we're going to figure, yeah. Because also, it's like, I mean,
for sure.
He's also because like being a club promoter underage, I mean, there's a lot of shit that they could also like dangle over his head with stuff. And we'll get into how nice. Some things were dangled over people's head for confessions in this case down the line. Mm. So, yeah. So after not ruling them in or out, they searched Brittany's room and they found everything that she brought to the trip besides her phone and purse. So everything besides what she was last seen.
I mean, it makes sense. If you're just walking to your friend's hotel, like you're not going to bring your whole bag. Or, your luggage.
So it showed that was definitely probably the time that all of that was happening. And they tracked her phone's pings on a path, like, 60 miles south of Myrtle Beach near the Georgetown-Charleston County line. and like obviously this was like pre all the Find My Friends, which is like your phone data pinging.
Mm-hmm.
And the pings
still far away.
Still far away. Oh God, 60 miles south on like a little like road too.
Yep.
And the pings did ultimately stop on April 26th. So like later on that day, they searched that area where they last were getting the alerts for 11 days and found nothing. They even looked at like an apartment complex nearby to see like if she was hiding there, if someone was hiding there, just to see, to get any action. But yeah, during this time, like Dawn would go on Dr. Phil a lot, and the nightclub promoter would come on too, and they would like have argue. I didn't totally dive into this because I'm just sort of like, I feel like it's the noise of it all where it's sort of like, I don't really know. They were just kind of talking in circles, and it's like the Dr. Phil of it all being like, what is our end game here besides viewership?
It's definitely weird. I don't know. I didn't watch any of those episodes, but to have them both on together is really weird because you have like a grieving mom and a kid or like a young adult.
Yeah, exactly. It really did not make any sense. But then also during this time, her mom moved to Myrtle Beach because she wanted to be closer to where Brittany was last seen, and also to be as involved as she could be in the investigation, and more so like wanted to like be closer to the people to get more updates, which I understand. I mean, I understand that whatever you have to do during this is what you have to do during this. Her mom also had like some thoughts about what happened. She feels like, because like we were talking about at the beginning, that Brittany was into like cosmetology, hair, makeup, modeling, and everything like that. She was like, maybe Brittany was promised like something like a modeling job down here, which is why maybe she went down to Myrtle Beach.
But I don't really get that, because like by who?
I know, that's what
I like. It seemed like she went down there for spring break, right? And do we think that these girls from her high school like had modeling connections?
That, yeah.
And like, do you think that she would really like at 8 o'clock, according to 9 at night, someone driving up being like, I have a modeling job? I don't understand that theory like at all.
I don't really understand all of that either. And but the other theory that she has is that she, Brittany was trafficked. At that time, a lot of people didn't believe that theory because they said it wasn't that common. But in a report in 2019, the county of Horry County was the number one county for human trafficking victims. And I also read an article in the Post and Courier, which a lot of info for this case has been coming out through, from literally like this year, saying why that county remains the top trafficking section. And they were saying, like, given its proximity to major interstates, shared state borders, ocean access, and major tourist attractions, it seems like there's a lot of things that could line up with how people could fall victim to trafficking. And
I could totally see it. Oh, so the thing that I found out about Peter checking out about that hotel in a rush was from this site called KiwiReport.com. So I don't know about that, but it did say that from 1997 to 2010, there were 12 documented cases of sex trafficking in Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, which doesn't sound like that much, but it's not zero. So...
Because in 2021, there was 121 cases, and in 2020, 139.
Right. And I also think, like, not all human trafficking is sex trafficking.
No, exactly. Yes.
And that's just sex trafficking.
Yeah. And on top of this, too, like, there were more, and the victim numbers have been increasing, too, which is a stark sign, where it's, like, 206 people in 2020 versus 179. Like, so it's, like, a 15% increase. So it is really, I can understand. I mean, obviously back then no one was really listening to the mom because they weren't thinking about it this much, but it is, I feel like, a major thing down there, or a large thing down there.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I just feel like the concept of trafficking wasn't like so much on the forefront of just like the collective consciousness.
No. Yeah.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
It's Kaylee Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So it kind of went cold until June 2016 when the FBI announced they believed that Brittany was murdered shortly after she disappeared, and they put up a $25,000 reward for information. 2 months later, Charleston Papers reported on the allegations in more detail based on a transcription of a bond hearing for an inmate by the name of Timothy Deshaun Taylor, who was serving time for different charges. I also will say that, like, his mother has since come out and said that they, like, she really wants him to stop being linked to this case because there was no evidence found. So I'll try to, like, keep it pretty limited, I guess.
And we get into in this, they were just doing, like, the squeezing technique on him of, like, trying to squeeze out information from this guy, and the information is just non-existent. So it really was just a case of, like, trying to wrap this up in a bow with no bow.
Right. Right. So basically what happened was an FBI agent by the name of Garrick Munoz testified that earlier that year, another inmate by the name of Taquan Brown, who was serving 25 years for manslaughter, told them back in 2009, a lot to keep track of,
a lot,
told them that after Brittany disappeared, he went to a stash house for weapons to give some money to Timothy's father. And when he walked through that house, he said that he saw Timothy and a few other men sexually abusing Brittany. And he continued to the backyard, and then he saw that Brittany escaped. And he said then she was caught. She was pistol whipped, taken back inside, and then he heard two gunshots. He assumed they had killed her. And Taquan claims that he saw a wrapped body being removed from the house and then dumped into an alligator pond. His statement was partially corroborated by information received from another informant. And this informant said that Timothy picked up Brittany in Myrtle Beach and took her to McClellanville, where he showed her off to friends, tried to sell her for human trafficking purposes. But after the case started getting media attention, he killed her just because there was too much attention. During this time, Taylor's mother says the story is just a bunch of craziness adopted by the federal authorities just to solve a case that they can't solve. And not surprisingly, this kind of set off a bunch of tips to the FBI that didn't really pan out. So another weird element of this is that back in like 2009, when the disappearance first happened, Chad went down to Myrtle Beach to help search, obviously, and he was like, he kind of recounted that he was passing out missing persons flyers when he like goes up to this guy in this car. I think there were like some other guys too. He said that kind of everybody was like, you know, taking the flyers pretty much. I mean, they were concerned. But he remembers he walks up to this one car, hands him a flyer with Brittany's picture on it. This guy looks at the flyer, laughs, and like crumples it up and throws it away. And that guy was apparently Deshaun Taylor.
Interesting.
And I think that the FBI was able to like corroborate that later based on the kind of car that he was driving or the description. But I think that's really weird.
That is interesting. I know I didn't read about that a ton, but that is that is a weird anecdotal thing from the dad as well, or from Chad as well.
Yeah, it is super weird.
But with that too, because even with that anecdotal, it really does seem like the Timothy character came out of fabricated air.
I don't know what to believe because, like, they never found evidence. And also, I feel like anytime there's a high-profile case, you kind of have some random inmate claiming to know what happened
exactly,
in exchange for, like, some kind of deal.
Yeah. So, and also, like, the FBI, all of this came during a bond hearing for Timothy, all these additional charges. And his lawyer was like, this is clearly nothing but a squeeze job because they were going to just pressure him to kind of be like, oh, we got a confession and now the government is amazing and boom, boom, boom. And also particularly...
the government is amazing.
And other thoughts. He added that like, this is just exclusively based on jailhouse confession and no additional evidence to back that up. And it's like...
Right.
The cooperative.
Exactly. Yeah. Where it's kind of just like, I feel like, yeah, I really feel like this happens with like every high profile case. Yeah. Like you'll find a news article. I remember when I was looking into updates for like Making a Murderer, you had like all these incarcerated people who were just coming out of the woodwork, like claiming to know things.
And also because it's like either it's a mess or to say to get a deal or XYZ. Yeah. I mean, and sometimes people say the truth with that, but it's like you need other evidence with that a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And also, so because they didn't really have any evidence, they were going this squeeze route. And I'll get into that a little bit more. So basically, Timothy Deshaun Taylor was serving or was involved in like this robbery of a McDonald's in 2011. And he was the driver, so he was the getaway car driver while the two others held up the restaurant. One wounded the store manager with two non-life-threatening gunshots.
And jeez.
So this is the part, and I mean, like, every lawyer is going to have their ears bleed when I try to explain this, because it is kind of confusing, but basically what happened is that because he confessed that he was guilty to being the driver in that and everything and sort of time, they still could bring parallel charges to him because federal laws were violated along with state laws. So he admitted guilt to violating the state laws that he was charged with. But because the FBI is involved in the Brittany case, they could be like,
I could see that.
For driving a getaway car to McDonald's. But they were able to throw that out, for this reason. So then the FBI could be like, oh, we actually want to charge him for X, Y, and Z. So basically they found a way to try him again for the McDonald's incident and bring him on, doing all of this in hopes that he would be like, okay, let me just, can I strike a deal if I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's sketch.
Yeah, so even the assistant U.S. attorney, Winston Holliday, questioned why the government was bringing these random interstate charges against him now. Holliday went on to say a federal position also gives the government the ability to lodge federal charges when it believes the outcome in a state court has been fundamentally unfair. So,
basically the government can do what they want.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, right? In case you didn't know.
Yeah, and what they were arguing is that they were arguing that Taylor's first case on the state level was unfair because he got off more lightly than the other two suspects who got substantial sentences. But let us remind you that the two other...
That seems fair to me. He was only driving the car.
He was not firing the shots and anything like that. And also, he admitted guilt to driving the car. So it's not like he was trying to get away scot-free from anything.
They're fucking haters. They're salty.
Saltier than a McDonald's fry.
There we go.
I mean, thankfully, because I do feel like they were really just tugging at Timothy for... their own thing personally. He wound up getting time served after a guilty plea for basically saying that he was still guilty for what he admitted guilt to before. So we just had to have time served. And a lot of activists around this time were just considering this to be a witch hunt against this incarcerated man.
Yeah, I mean, even his mom was just like, look, he's done some things, but he hasn't done that. It's kind of from driving a getaway car to like this murder trafficking scheme is, I don't know, a big jump, I guess. That's so it's just weird that he, I guess what's weird to me is like he seemingly got brought into it with like, is there any other evidence besides this one guy's account?
That's the thing. If there was more factual stats and data and photos and more witnesses than just this one guy.
And like, so weird.
And then also it's the thing too where it's like, I mean, I'm not discrediting Chad, but it's like, did you see him or did you just know that now this guy's being talked about and you're like, oh, now I saw it?
Well, more on this Taquan Brown guy. In 2019, he gave an interview to a Rochester news station.
And that's where he's sentenced to up there. He's in prison around there as well now.
Yeah. And he said he saw Brittany four times before she was killed within a month.
So that's also back a few years ago. He said he just walked by her once and now his whole story is switching.
He said his first encounter was on April 27th, 2 days after her disappearance at the house, and he didn't recognize her then, but after all of the kind of media attention about the case, then he was like, oh, okay, I've seen this girl. The second time, he said, was the event he described to the FBI with the gunshots. The third time was 5 days later, I guess, when she miraculously rose from the dead. Like, what? I don't understand. No, that's not what he said. What he said was the third time was 5 days later when she was walking on a dirt road near his cousin's house. But that doesn't really make sense because the first time he said that he heard gunshots and then someone was like carried out, wrapped up in some kind of like tarp or something. Yeah. And then he said the last time was in late May near his cousin's residence. And now this time he says he saw her being murdered by a man he knew as Nate, who shot her twice with a shotgun.
Who is Nate?
Right. So this girl survived 4 gunshots at least. Interesting. The station did corroborate some of this, like the house and things like that, but not a ton. Do you know what else they were able to corroborate?
Oh, that the houses looked alike that he described. Besides that, okay. They were like, there was no Nate. And I also know, I think the cousin he was with has since died. And none of the friends, like, they couldn't find any of the other people he said he saw her with. So it kind of, they were just like, don't know where this information is going.
I guess I'm confused too. Like, if these people all live in South Carolina, what is he doing in prison in Rochester?
I didn't know if it was just like an inmate shift for, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know that they would send you like that far away, but who knows, I guess.
I think they, honestly, this always happens, but I feel they do that sometimes as my two theories. This is based on nothing, so I probably should Google this. But either they'll send you away to make it harder for your family to visit you. Or
they do that on Law and Order.
I wonder if he ends up suing the FBI, I wonder if they guaranteed him a relocation after quote unquote snitching while in jail.
Well, in any case, he sued federal officials for making him seem like a snitch and putting his life in danger. I'm like, okay, but you did it. Like, you snitched.
You snitched.
I'm like, I don't know, man. As for Brittany, there are no real updates. And I don't know. This is very perplexing. Like, I don't really know what to think.
I know. I feel it's just like a snap situation and happened so fast, and then there wasn't really any intel to go with off of it, which is so insane. Like all the searching around the area where her phone pinged off for 11 days, finding nothing.
Right. Like, I get this whole like trap house murder theory is kind of like generally accepted as what happened. But to me, there are just so many unanswered questions with that.
And I feel, I mean, from the statistics that we're working with too, like they shut down all notions of trafficking back then. So they didn't really investigate a lot of different avenues that they could have back then. I feel there could have been a possibility with that because also she was just like a young girl tourist in this area walking alone. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I definitely think she was abducted. It's just, I don't, you know, it's a question of by whom.
Oh, God.
Yeah, super sad.
That's so sad. And poor Dawn, too.
Yeah, I kind of am like, I don't even know what it would. I mean, I think in order to really find out what happened, like more people would have to come forward with something that can actually be corroborated.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But definitely, if you guys have theories or if we miss something, DM us at Not Another True Crime. Put it in the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group. Let us know because we are confused.
We're confused and we want to see if, and also because I'm always curious too for any people that are like in the area of the place we talk about, anybody who lives in Myrtle Beach or South Carolina to have like more anecdotal evidence or evidence that everyone talks about but doesn't get scratched to the surface type of thing. We're curious about that as well.
Very true.
While we wait for people to help us with that, we will round this all out with a little game.
Oh, what a tragic case.
I know.
Tough. Yeah, it's hard not to feel bad for the mother too. She knew it.
Oh my God. It's like truly, I just like a mom's worst nightmare.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, while going over this case, I for some reason latched on to one fact, which is the fact that this happened in alligator country.
Oh, God.
Oh,
alligators
truly.
Are kind of some of the most terrifying animals in my mind.
Oh.
Like snakes, spiders, whatever.
Deeply.
Even cockroaches. I'm like, oh, whatever. A like an alligator or crocodile to me is actually terrifying.
Scary.
And in a weird
way, one in Costa Rica and I was like, ah.
They're prehistoric. They're almost like dinosaurs.
Well, they really are.
Yeah. So For today's game, we're going to play a game that I'm calling Answer Me Later, Gator.
Okay.
Good night.
This is how it's going to work. So I looked up a bunch of fascinating trivia facts about alligators. And to make it a little interesting, I will start off reading to you all the answers to the questions.
Oh.
But you're going to be answering me later, Gators. And afterwards, I'm going to read you a question. And it's going to be up to you to figure out which of the answers goes to that question.
Oh, God. And it's a memory game.
Yeah,
you have to remember the answers. All right. So here are the answers.
I'm confused.
Danny looks like his brain is going to explode.
Shout out to everybody with short-term memory.
All right, there's eight answers. Don't write them down. No cheating. All right, here we go. 75, 20 feet, 3 years, 600 pounds, 200 million years, 35 years, 30 miles an hour.
Oh, God.
7 inches.
It's already too much. Okay.
All right. Those were the answers.
All right.
Oh, God. All right, Danny, you are up first.
Fuck. Okay.
I'm going to ask you, an average male alligator weighs how much?
600 pounds?
That is correct, Danny. Nice. Well done. You answered me later, Gator. Well done. All right, Sarah. How fast can an alligator run?
Oh, God. 20 miles an hour?
That is incorrect, Sarah. It was 30 miles an hour.
Shit. Wait, that's weird. We remember the same.
Damn it.
Mandela effect.
Yeah, right. All right, Danny, back to you. You have a little bit of a lead here. How many feet long was the longest alligator in history?
Okay, we were both thinking 20, so I'm going to say 20 feet.
That is correct, Danny. You're on a roll.
Wow.
Well done. Sarah, back to you.
Oh, good. Selena got my song.
A newborn baby alligator is how long?
6 feet.
7 inches. That is incorrect.
Okay, wait. Sarah's what they say on Hinge. Woo. The answer is what they get.
I thought I remembered things. I was trying really hard. And then at a certain point, it just was in one ear and out the other. So I'm not doing great.
Well, Daddy, you are doing great. And here's your next question.
Truly.
How many teeth does the average alligator have?
I either want to say 75 or 300. I'm going to go with 300.
That is incorrect. It was 75, though.
Oh,
man.
So close, yet so far. Okay, Sarah, how long can an alligator survive without eating?
Without eating?
Oh, God.
I don't remember this at all. I really don't remember. I'm going to go with 25 days.
3 years is the correct answer.
Fuck.
What?
Isn't that
jealous?
Insane?
Get me on that
skinny legend.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's why they always look sleek.
Yeah, apparently, I mean, they're cold-blooded, so they don't use much energy just lying there. Hmm. And they can hold on to food for very, very long.
Wow.
They can even survive when the water freezes over in the swamps. They just put their snouts out and then they're like frozen into the ice so they can breathe all winter. And when the ice thaws over, they can just keep going about their
days. Holy shit.
That is so funny.
Legends. Okay. We have two questions left.
Ooh.
Danny, how long can an alligator live on average? What is their lifespan?
Fuck. I know you said a really huge number, and I don't know if that is it. They like, because that would just be so stupid, I think. But that's the answer I'm thinking. Can they live 2,000 years?
That is incorrect.
They're cold-blooded. I don't know.
My God, we would just be like ruled by alligators if that were the case.
I don't know where they are.
The correct answer was 35 years. But this is the long answer that you were thinking of. Sarah, how long ago did the first alligators appear on Earth?
200 million years.
Well done, Sarah.
Yeah, oh! I got one.
Not a shutout. Well, Danny, you have won today's game of Answer Me Later, Gator. Fair and square. Fair and square. You have drawn to level points with Sarah.
Oh, shit.
On our wow.
NATCP 2022 championship. We are tied at 3 points each. Sarah, you came out of the gate swinging with 3 points unanswered, but Danny has responded in kind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. 6-3. Yeah, we have an even game, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll play with our guests next week, and they'll be like, what are you guys doing? Or like they'll try to answer. We're like, oh, you're not in the challenge.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Jorge, for another informative game. I'm more afraid of alligators than I was before.
I know. But now I'm actually relieved because I'm like, oh, they're not going to eat me because they ate 2 years ago.
I know. I don't trust anything that only needs to eat every 3 years.
I know. I'm like 3 hours and I want a snack.
That. For sure. For sure. Well, thank you, Jorge. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you guys for listening.
Be sure to join the Facebook group, as we say 900 times, but it works. Not another True Crime group.
Is it too late to buy tickets for your show by the time this episode comes out?
Yes, but not yours.
All right. Well, if you want to see me do some stand-up to bit.ly/AITA, capital Q, capital E, capital D. It has to be case sensitive. Or just go to my link in bio at Sarah LaMeme.
Woo! All right. I'm so excited for that. And you can follow me while you're on Instagram.
February 25th. Sorry. I feel like I should say that detail.
I got my tickets yesterday, Sarah. I'll be
there. I got my tickets.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Still working on my jokes.
Oh my God. It'll be fun.
We'll laugh no matter what, Sarah.
No pressure, but I'm going to Queens for you.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. Well, I'll see you guys then, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
We'll also see you guys then, too.
Bye.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah LaMeme and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah LaMeme. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.